Today on Doomed! The Freedom Convoy has arrived in America. On this episode of Doomed with Matt Binder, we will be talking about the group of truckers that have descended on Washington, D.C., inspired by the Canadian protests from earlier this year. And they're driving around the Beltway, driving around the Beltway in demand or in protest of something, apparently. We don't quite know what it seems like. Maybe, though, I'm just out of the loop. And my guest, who has been on the ground there and covering this, will be able to let us know a little bit more. Let me pull both of us up on the feed. Joining me now, he is a media reporter with the Daily Beast, Zachary Petrizzo. Zach, thanks so much for joining me today.
Matt, thanks for having me on again. What is this, the third time? It's really exciting.
This is the third time, and of course, just as I pull you up, you froze on Skype, but now it's working. So this is the third time you've been on, and I think it might be the first time you've been on this show where we're not going to be talking about Mike Lindell, the MyPillow guy.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know we talked about the Groypers, Mike Lindell, all these fascinating characters that have kind of consumed much of right-wing media, but it's so great to be back talking about something new.
It's a pleasure to have you back, and I want to congratulate you on, you know, you're now with the Daily Beast, so congrats on the new gig. And it's really always a pleasure talking with you because you really embed yourself in with these guys. I mean, you were like on, I'm assuming, based on how Mike Lindell would refer to you, you were like on his contactless favorites or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. You know, I think since we've talked last, at least, I think he sent me, he found my address, and I haven't shown this name. He actually sent me one of his pillows, believe it or not. So there's that.
Oh, that's fantastic.
It's an interesting story here because it's an interesting pillow. I've been testing it out the last couple of weeks, and it's turned quite lumpy kind of in the middle. It's unfortunate. So maybe 3 out of 10 stars.
Ooh, yeah. Now, I can't believe he sent you a pillow. But we should live up to the promise that I just said where we won't be talking about Mike Lindell.
Right.
Going forward, we won't be talking about Mike Lindell. Unless you're about to tell me there's some Mike Lindell funding that's been discovered with this trucker convoy.
Haven't discovered it quite yet, but maybe. We don't know.
Okay. Okay, so let's dive right in. And first, let's start off. Because as I was telling you before the show, and as my listeners know, you know, I was this show was actually on a very short hiatus when the Canadian trucker convoy was happening, because I have a second show now called Scam Economy that basically covers crypto, and I was launching that show when the trucker convoy happened, and just when Doomed came back, trucker convoy over. But why don't you, for people who aren't familiar, why don't you give us a little bit of background? Because it is this Canadian trucker freedom convoy that really kicked off what we're seeing now in D.C., right?
Yeah. No, absolutely. You hit the nail on the head. This Canadian, you know, protest up in Ottawa was really the inspiration, I would say, for this new Freedom Convoy, which is, of course, the largest of the convoys that traveled from California and recently hit D.C. last Friday, Hagerstown, Maryland, and now D.C. So that was kind of the inspiration. I would say there are many elements that are quite similar, right? So I would say, of course, the truckers and kind of the attitudes and stuff, but I would say very different at the same time, right? Of course, I would say in America, it's a little bit more decentralized, and you have a lot of kind of factions emerging among the truckers, where perhaps, you know, to our neighbors to the north, they were more unified in their effort, and they were actually protesting, you know, in their country mandates. They had something, and they're really protesting that specific cause. Here in the United States, at least, you know, I think it's a little bit more blurry on their actual goals and their demands. Of course, you know, this has become a large question as they kind of entangle the Beltway, what I would call feverishly entangle the Beltway. And you know, what are their demands? What do they want? You know, I've been covering them on the ground in Hagerstown. I still don't know exactly what their demands are because there isn't a federal COVID-19 vaccine mandate, you know, like Canada and some of the other things going on in Canada. So there's some big differences there.
Right. So it seems like from what you're telling me, we'll get a little bit more into both convoys, I guess. But it seems like from what you're telling me, this big protest movement, and we're gonna get a little bit into the background of just how organic or grassroots the Canadian movement itself was even. But it seems like, you know, this thing happened in Canada. It was really big. It got a lot of attention. The movement, for all intents and purposes, the movement was organized and together, at least for the people who were down there. They seemed to have been all there for a general purpose that they all mm-hmm. agreed on. And it really shut down an entire city for, I believe, for quite a while. Was it a couple of weeks, right?
Yeah.
And so the U.S. protesters who were involved in the convoy now, these right-wingers, saw what went on and were inspired by it and wanted to bring a similar thing to the U.S. But due to various rather large differences between the two, their attempts haven't been quite so successful yet.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would say a lot of those are kind of they're different things, right? One of the big things that makes it a lot different is like they don't have an actual goal in terms of like what they're trying to shut down or what they're trying to maneuver around, right? There's a lot of anxiety about going into DC now, right? Because of many of the incidences that happened in around January 6th, right? And those types of things. So there's a lot of hesitation there when it comes to truckers potentially thinking that, you know, they could get wrapped up and get in trouble and ultimately get their truck permits kind of pulled if they do violate, you know, certain ordinances and laws in DC. So there's fear there. And I would say at the same time, like a lot of these mandates and a lot of these vaccine things that they're now protesting, for example, like mask mandates, right? We're seeing it across the country in many states, those being like kind of pulled back and kind of toned down because, you know, the vaccine has kind of made a pretty big move in the right direction in terms of lowering the case count. So, you know, in terms of what they're protesting, they're kind of protesting nothing in terms of things that they can actually get tuned down because a lot of it's already being tuned down, which, you know, coincidentally, now they're claiming, oh, that's our work. I don't think so. I think that happened before you guys were ever on the scene, but we'll let them think what they want.
Right. I mean, it's interesting because the work is actually from what we've been seeing, obviously. And I mean, I'm in New York City. Mm-hmm. And from what I've seen, our mayor has been rolling back, and even on a larger state level, this has all been rolling back recently due to basically special interest pressure, you know, pressure from special interests, like corporations. For example, in New York City, you could tell a lot of it's from like the real estate lobby pushing on. They're worried about office space rents, and so they're pushing hard for, you know, mandates to be dropped and for people to be able to get back to the office comfortably without masks and work at home. I mean, our mayor, Eric Adams, is constantly out there saying, time to put the sweatpants away, get out of your pajamas, as if, you know, work at home is just like everyone's just lazy, lounging around, sleeping all day or whatever. But that's the thing they're trying to push. And, you know, that rhetoric is much more in line with taking direction or at least inspiration, if I'm going to, you know, from what special interests are pushing, much more than what a bunch of right-leaning truckers want.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I know when I was out there kind of asking, because of course these truckers, you know, of course came from California, as we'll probably get into a bit more, but, you know, they've traversed the entire country and now they're stationed about an hour and a half north of Washington, D.C. in a small town called Hagerstown, which is, you know, a tiny little city in Maryland that, you know, they're kind of like posted up at this old dirt racetrack speedway type thing. So they're up there and they're hanging out at this event. I went up there and I was talking to them, back to your point. And I said, well, you know, what's the deal? And I could not. There were at least probably close to five or six of them that I was speaking with. Some, like we reported at the Daily Beast, that they were like, oh, we're upset about, you know, the federal vaccine mandate, right? And of course, oh, well, that's not even a thing, right? There is a mandate, right? But it's for military, it's for very specific sectors. And there isn't a sweeping, right, U.S. federal vaccine mandate. So what they're protesting there, like, isn't even a thing, right? So the you know, and then they'll talk about, like, the Emergency Powers Act and, like, all these very, you know, peculiar in the weeds types of things when most people, like, aren't even thinking about it, and it's not even affecting most people's lives, right? It's just like, you know, let's get upset and let's try to go after these things that, you know, of course, aren't that big of deals, because there isn't a vaccine mandate.
Right. That's really, like, the sort of the funniest thing. Like, that was the main reason for the Canadian version of the convoy. And there's not that here. It's a protest without anything to really protest. Like, we'll get into specifics, because today really ended up being the perfect day to schedule this, because today they met with this interview, because today they met with a number of Republican Congress people. And yeah. Let's get into that in just a minute. But first, I want to, you know, sort of talk about more about the comparison between the two. Now, the Canadian convoy, it got a lot of attention because of it received a lot of funding, millions of dollars. Mm. And obviously there was the whole issue where the Canadian government cut off their access to that funding. But it came out that, you know, this wasn't really this straight up grassroots protest. Like, this wasn't just a bunch of blue collar workers who drive trucks for a living getting together saying, you know, we're sick and tired of this. These mandates, and they just, you know, organically did this. This was, from everything I saw and from all the reporting I read, funded by largely by, you know, right-wing organizations or, you know, big funders. Also, a lot of the people involved weren't even, like, working-class blue-collar truckers. But in fact, what we see a lot when we were dealing with the lockdown protests here in the early 2020s, the protests were attended by the small business owner class, people who are making hundreds of thousands of dollars, if not low millions a year, who mm-hmm. own companies, not exactly, you know, the blue collar working class person you think of. These were people who owned trucking companies and employed truckers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think there is a great amount of similarity. I know when I was out in Hagerstown, which is where they're kind of, like, mounted up in Maryland, of course, and I was talking to some people on Friday night, I spoke with one guy from Buffalo, New York, who owns a fleet of 10 trucks. So, and he owns his own trucking company and was one and brought five of his trucks to you know, the what's now, like, a protest, a convoy. So yeah, I do think, you know, these people are probably a little bit way better off than, like, your average trucker to a certain extent, because, I mean, it takes a decent amount of money to be able to afford this, because a lot of them, you know, aren't necessarily ever going to see kind of funds again, if that makes sense. I know there's over, like, $1.5 million raised for the Freedom Convoy, the People's Convoy. So it remains to be seen exactly how much of that money will go back to the truckers and where that money will end up. I know there's a lot of worries about that, and it remains to be seen where all that's going to be divvied up. And similar goes for the Freedom Convoy, right, which is another convoy that's also done some fundraising that was kind of, like, you know, tailing the People's Convoy. So there are a lot of other convoys that are also, you know, perhaps even more, you know, into the grifting than the People's Convoy.
Let's break that down more, actually, because I'm now honestly confused. The lead up to this, you know, so the Canadian Trucker Convoy, I hate calling it that because it's, again, not truckers for the most part. In fact, correct me if I'm wrong, something like 80% plus of actual truckers in Canada are vaccinated. Like, we're vaccinated by the time this convoy even happened, which means, you know, ostensibly you wouldn't think that a trucker would take off from work and lose money to protest something that they already are in compliance of and need to do nothing additional to do, you know, like it's already done. So we're already taking out 80% plus of the possible people who could make up this protest. So, you know, so that event happens, it ends, and it seems like it's taken a while for the U.S. one to come together, and there were a few different convoys, and on top of that, there were even other convoys that tried to do this earlier, but then it just fizzled out because nothing happened, no one joined, they didn't gain any traction. Can you help break down exactly which, you know, the main convoys we should be aware of, I guess?
Sure, absolutely. So of course, you have the People's Convoy, which is the largest one. And that's the one that I think we're probably going to pay the most attention to tonight. That's the one that came from California, traveled all across the country, had a lot of connecting routes to it. Especially from the Northeast, actually. And then that's the one that's now in Hagerstown, Maryland, posted up there. So that's the first one. The second one is the Freedom Convoy, another convoy that came from kind of California, middle part of the country, and has since been behind the People's Convoy. And according to the organizers, I haven't been able to independently verify this, 10 trucks, 10 kind of like, you know, semi trucks type of thing came into Hagerstown, and those two groups are now combined. But, you know, those two groups have at times been at each other's throats and feuded because there's some underlying tension about the amount of aggression and the amount of escalation one should take in terms of, you know, going into D.C. I would say the Freedom Convoy, the group behind the People's Convoy, is much more into, you know, potentially going into D.C. and setting up camp. And they seem a little bit more abrasive than the People's Convoy. The People's Convoy is very nervous that, you know, potentially these people get wrapped up and get in trouble, you know, DC police swoops in and takes action against you know, them occupying DC. So then you have those two groups, and then of course last week, or was it the week before now? Yeah, last week there were two other trucker type movements that came to DC. There was one led by a guy named Bob Bolas, who's this older gentleman from Scranton. And he's an interesting guy because he told local news here in D.C. He said that he's going to choke, quote unquote, choke the Beltway like a boa constrictor. So it turns out, of course, he comes to D.C. and he brings this truck that's like, you know, plastered in like Trump paraphernalia. And it turns out he's the only trucker there.
I saw that SUVs. One.
Yeah. He has a bunch of SUVs tailing him, and I'm on the phone with him and his like partner in crime, kind of riding the truck, named Judy. Was it Judy or Rudy? I forget her name. But she was riding in the car with him, and I'm talking to both of them, and while they're talking to me, they're like admitting just everything. They're like, oh, we got lost, we got turned around. So, you know, what I'm kind of saying is the circular beltway kind of got the best of them. You know, they just really couldn't figure out, you know, how a beltway could be circular. Of course, DC, you know, 495 runs in a pretty big circle. So that just kind of really put an end to their attempt to choke the beltway. So then the beltway went 1-0. And then the other one was a rally actually in DC, led by this guy named Kyle Schneck, I believe is how you pronounce his last name. He's this gentleman who's running for governor in Maryland. Is kind of like this right-wing activist. And his whole thing was, oh, let's put, you know, let's have a protest on the day of the State of the Union address, which you probably saw this one too. And so he went down there, tried to hold a protest. Long story short, a total of 12 people showed up when the permit said that upwards of 3,000 would show up. So that didn't pan out super well either. So, you know, he, of course, has since kind of joined the People's Convoy, and same with Bob. I saw Bob today on Capitol Hill, and he's since joined the People's Convoy. So, I think that's kind of the direction they're all moving towards.
Right. Now, the convoy that Bob guy ran was especially fun to watch because, like you said, it was one guy and it was him. But he, like, a perfect example, his convoy, he put this event together that no one showed up for, but anyway, he put together this ostensibly working class trucker movement. He is a truck company owner. He runs a truck company. And on top of that, one of the funny things I saw that weekend was someone wasn't doing their job, not you, some reporter wasn't doing their job because they weren't there on the ground like you were. And they had called him and he had told them, yeah, we got like 30 trucks driving around the Beltway. And then I saw you and another reporter who was on the ground literally posting video of the one truck, like him. Mm-hmm. So everyone had to pile on this one reporter who believed Bob that he had like a whole army of trucks following him when in fact he did not, which again shows how important it is to be there on the ground, because believe it or not, these guys are not always going to be so honest when their event that they've put their heart and soul into, whether they, you know, whether you agree with them or not, clearly they believe this stuff. You know, they're not gonna tell you that they've failed.
Yeah, and I have to say, some of these guys, it's a great point, because some of these guys that are leading these trucker operations here in the United States, I'll be completely honest, like Bob Bolas, he was convicted of insurance fraud in like 2006. So I mean, we're not dealing with you know, the most upfront people in terms of, you know, a lot of them have a sticky relationship with the truth. So I think to a certain extent, we've also seen that out in Hagerstown with the People's Convoy. I know some people have been printing some claims about a 64-mile-long convoy running around the Beltway. I'm not going to say who exactly is printing this, but some more mainstream outlets. And I'm like, I'm riding around the Beltway in my super beat-up old car.
I'm sorry,
and that's not the case.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but I have to stop you here, because when you said the 64-mile thing, you know, the convoy is being printed up around there, I assumed you meant like this was something that the trucker convoy was trying to spread. Like they were spreading, or like even like, you know, Gateway Pundit or some right wing, you know, propaganda arm was like spreading this stuff. But you made it sound like legitimate, or what are considered legitimate news outlets are saying that.
Yeah. There has been. Yeah, so there's been this thing where some news organizations are partaking in some of this type of stuff, where it's like, you know, organizers say, right? So it's like, and some of these publications could easily go out and get in their car, you know, like we do at the Daily Beast. We get in our car and we, even if it's super old and it has a couple engine lights on, we get in our car and we go out and see, right? So we were able to see that despite them claiming they're occupying two lanes of traffic, they're clearly not occupying two lanes of traffic. They claim that they stretch from one part of the Beltway all the way around to the other part of the Beltway. That's clearly not it, because guess what? I can ride around on the other part of the Beltway and double check you. So yeah, so some of the things they're claiming aren't true. I wouldn't say that they're a 64-mile long convoy. I wouldn't say that it's 3,000 cars strong either. That's way too, it's just not that. I mean, it's probably closer to a now, and especially yesterday when I was out there, it's probably close to like 1,000 at the very max. I mean, and that's with all the support vehicles and, you know, because there were only, when I was out there on Friday at its peak and I counted all of them, there were only close to like 210 kind of the cabs, you know, the semis. And even if they got in another 50, that's like, you know, 250-ish kind of semis that they have posted out there. But it's not, you know, I know organizers keep saying 3,000, and they just keep throwing out these numbers. I know when I spoke with Brian, who's one of the main organizers of the People's Convoy today on Capitol Hill, he claimed another large, extraordinary number, and he told me they keep growing. I have a hard time buying that.
Right. You know, I will say that I would print organizer says the convoy is 64 miles long or whatever, but only if I followed it up with, but I went down there and that's just not true. Like you have to add that if you were going to quote their own estimate. Like they really, like someone, I'm saying that as if they went out there and they were like, let's see, 1, 2, yeah, about 64 miles long. But you know, it is you know, a lot of this is funny, but also I think we should understand that this could get serious, because like you were saying, for example, the Freedom Convoy, no, the People's Convoy is the one that's sort of cautious about going into DC. And I assume the reason they are cautious about going into DC in March of 2022 is because they remember what happened to the people who stormed the Capitol building in January 6th, 2021. And they mm-hmm. are under the assumption that, you know, DC will put, you know, rain the hammer down on them just like they did on the January 6th protesters
mm-hmm.
or rioters yeah, or however you want to call them.
Yeah, I think there is that fear for some of the truckers there. I would say, though, that the group, in my opinion, and I've been out in Hagerstown, I've been here in D.C., I've been trying to absorb as much of this content as humanly possible. You know, I would say that there is a split among these truckers. I mean, you have a lot of people that are among the group that think that they should enter into DC because why did we come all this way if we're not going to enter DC, right? And it's like, oh, well, a lot of these truckers spent maybe $2,500 in fuel, you know, kind of coming across the country and back. And so they put a lot of money into this. They might not get the donations out of it, and they want to make it worth it. I know at the morning meeting, I believe it was yesterday morning, they have like a morning meeting every morning out in Hagerstown. I know that there was discussion about going into DC, and the organizer, this Brian guy, kind of came up and said, oh, we need to be safe. We shouldn't go into DC. We're not going into DC. And there were some truckers that were, you know, you could hear them. They were pretty upset by that. And one trucker even said, oh, well, you know, if we can't do it now, you know, save it for the end. So there is this sense of we're still going to go into DC, and we're still entitled to go into DC. And how that all plays out, I think, really remains to be seen. But there definitely is a genuine energy of, you know, let's go in to DC, even when, you know, authorities have made clear, you know, that's not really going to be allowed.
Right. So what? How did this really all, like, how did we get, like, you know, we spoke about there's those two convoys that fizzled, but how did we get these two convoys to DC? Like, how has this been organized? Like, I know, for example, I've been following, Sarah Aniano, at Coolface Jane on Twitter, who's been, like, laser focused on covering these convoys coming together. Seems like mostly on Telegram. Mm-hmm. There's been other people too. Off the top of my head, Left Coast Right Watch has been covering this stuff.
Yeah,
what's been going on to get to this moment? Has this all just been via Telegram? Like, how did these people all come together?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think Telegram has been kind of their main landing page, if you will. You know, in terms of how they all came together, I think a lot of it was kind of dates back. I know this Brian, Bess, or is, I'm not sure his last name, but this Brian character, who's the main organizer of the People's Convoy, this gentleman is, you know, was on Tucker Carlson one night way back when. And did a lot of right-wing media appearances. So there was kind of a lot of energy around the People's Convoy even before it started. So I also think one of the other ways was, of course, Steve Bannon's War Room and some other advertising that we saw pop up, and then them kind of direct people to a website and it direct to Telegram. So I think that was kind of the natural chain. But I do have to say there are some great people, like you mentioned, that are out there following a lot of the in-the-weeds type of stuff in terms of Telegram and the chats and the donors upset and all these different layers, whereas my focus has really been just kind of being there in person and trying to suss out what I can from the scene.
Hey, we need both those types. We need people on getting the insider information that's online, and then we need someone mm-hmm. on the ground who's actually able to report on how it's all coming together based on what they were saying online. It takes a village, I guess.
It does. But there are a lot of great accounts out there that if people are more interested, they should definitely check out.
Now, oh, for sure. So we get to this point where this all comes together. They're in DC. You've already explained basically that we got these two convoys and how they differ. These two main convoys, at least, and how they differ. Now, mm-hmm. what have they been doing? Like, it seems like, and mm-hmm. I've been watching your feed, and it's almost like you're just in your car recording traffic. I mean, and it's not even like a lot of traffic. Like I'm someone who born, raised, always been in New York City. I don't travel too much, so I don't know the DC area. I'm not familiar too much with the Beltway, although I'm sure I've driven on it the handful of times I've been in DC. You know, tell me about what's actually going on when they're like out there. Like, what do they actually even? Is the Beltway even actually in DC? Because you're telling me they're in Maryland hanging out, which seems like
yeah.
If you're donating to this, as some people have, I would be pretty pissed that these guys basically used your money to hang out in a completely different city.
So a lot of great questions there. So of course they're posted up an hour and 30 minutes outside of Washington, D.C. in this small town called Hagerstown.
Whoa. When you said, I was thinking like, oh, a 20 minute drive. Like, you know, I'm in Queens. I could take a train, get into Manhattan in 20, 30 minutes with no traffic, no rush hour. You're telling me they're an hour and a half drive away?
Hour and a half, yeah. For me to get to them from D.C., hour and a half northwest, kind of. So that's, yeah, it's a long drive, especially, yeah. So I drove up there. I've driven up there. It's not a bad drive, but it's definitely up there. So when the truckers come down, because every morning now the People's Convoy is doing different amounts of laps on the Beltway, right? So the Beltway is a big circle. So they come down all the way down, an hour and a half drive. They do one lap, two lap, and different lanes. So for example, on Sunday they started doing two laps, one lane. And that was their convoy. They kept, you know, rolling around. And then on Monday, they did one lap, two lanes. And then today, they did two lanes, one lap. Yeah, I think that makes sense. So, yeah, so they're trying to basically escalate their convoy tactics daily so that, you know, they get their demands. But one of the big problems is we don't know what their demands are for the most part. So there's nothing concrete in terms of, oh, these people want this and they'll go away. Even if they do want it, like, who says they're going to be given that? But we don't even know what their demands are because that's still like super unclear to us. And I know I asked them during, you know, on Capitol Hill today, I asked Senator Ted Cruz that, I asked Senator Ron Johnson that, and they all seemed to attack the messenger, me, you know, asking the question instead of addressing the question.
Right. Let's talk about that. So they're driving around for days.
Yeah.
Not shutting down anything. Did they cause any inconvenience to anyone whatsoever? Did they even cause like some slow moving traffic?
Yeah. I think that's a good question. I think this is always hard to tell. You know. I think to a certain extent they've caused some headaches around the Beltway. I know I've heard from plenty of people that live around the Beltway that are now, you know, of course, following me online and will send me notes saying that, you know, these people convoy are slowing up their commute. But I also think to a certain extent they're not having the desired effect that they want, perhaps. I think they wanted to be a little bit more of what they call like a huge pain. And that's like a quote unquote, they wanted to be a huge pain. And I don't think they're being like a huge pain. I think they're being more a nuisance at this point. I think if they do enter DC, I think they turn into a huge pain. But I think riding around on the Beltway, you know, from my experience, I've been out there with them, what, for 4 days, 3 days, riding around with them. So I'm able to tell that, like, to a great extent, like, for example, one of the big things that's happening, and they yell at each other about this in the morning. Actually, it's a big point of contention. But you know, these diesel trucks will kind of take off running because the minimum speed is 55 on the Beltway, and you kind of have to keep that speed. It's like per law, and the organizers of the People Convoy keep saying 55, 55, and at morning meetings they're like yelling 55, 55. So the truck will take off at 55, and then, you know, this truck, you know, different parts of the Beltway are slower and faster. And this truck won't really keep up, right? Because it kind of has to get going. And like four cars will get in between them. So then it just turns into a huge kind of like chain reaction where all these trucks are stopping and they're just super pulled apart and they're kind of disconnected and they're over the CB like, we're disconnected. So it kind of turns into a whole thing within itself where they can't even keep a convoy because they're kind of unable to.
Right. I love how the guys who were there to ostensibly shut down DC are making sure to follow the speed limit laws. Don't want to mess with those, right? I mean, we respect our traffic laws.
It is interesting, but I don't think they're super, you know, I think they like, I mean, of course, at points they're not going 55, but like they're very. They also have a lot of, among the ranks, among these truck drivers at these morning meetings. There's a lot of contention between them. Like, you know, you'll see one truck driver say like, "Oh, we need to keep up. We need to keep up. We need to stop slowing down under overpasses." And then some other guy will yell at him to stop giving demand. So there is seemingly, as the days grow, you know, more and more that they're doing this, the more contention, you know, I've seen to find among them.
Couldn't they if they really wanted to do something, couldn't they just have one truck in each lane and just keep slowly get slower and then just come to a complete stop, thus shutting down the roadways? I mean, if they really wanted to do something, it seems like it's very easy to do it.
Yeah, I think you're 100% right. I think a lot of the right-wing criticism I know from, of course, notorious like huckster, conspiracy theorist, far-right operative, Jacob Wool, of course, he went out on Saturday and had a lot of complaints regarding regarding this convoy. He took a rent-a-car with Jack Berkman and they rode out there and they said, "Why aren't you occupying DC?" Long story short, Jacob Wool and Jack Berkman ended up being kicked out by these organizers and called Antifa, which, you know, I don't even think they're nowhere even near, you know, any part. I mean, they're just, you know, whatever. That's a whole story.
They're just trolls. They're just like trolls. That's all they do. Yeah, I mean, yeah. Right-wing trolls, but trolls nonetheless. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, they're not anti-fascist activists. I mean, they're just like, it's just so off base. But anyways, we have two groups of folks kind of arguing out between Jacob Wool and them. And they're like, "Oh, well, let's go into DC." And then long story short, Jacob Wool got a CB radio. So Jacob Wool's over the CB radio telling these truckers they need to enter DC now. So he starts telling the truckers what they need to do. The truckers start cussing Jacob Wool out over the radio and telling him he needs to, you know, get out of here, or get going. And Jacob Wool's offering them $200 to enter DC. So I would say, though, more so not just, you know, Jacob does a lot of dumb stuff, but there's a point of criticism among the far right, including people like far right radio host Stu Peters and others and you know, kind of continues to go, which is that they're not actually kind of like doing anything, but it's more like a big beer tailgate party. Right.
Right. Right.
That's one of the criticisms.
I mean, I guess if that's what they want to do, it's fine. Again, I'm sure people who donated to them thinking they were going to do something are mm-hmm. pretty pissed. I can't recall if we mentioned this. How has the fundraising been for this? I mean, I know the Canadian truckers got raised a lot of funds. Has the funding for this been anywhere even close to that? I mean, I can't imagine. It's possible, though. I guess you probably know better than me.
Yeah, I think last time I saw it, it was definitely over $1 million. I think there's a decent amount of money behind it. And I do think that the people there, especially after I spoke with a lot of them on Friday, like are willing to like kind of chip in and like help to make it a reality. I know when I spoke to organizers today on Capitol Hill, you know, they said, "Oh, this would go on indefinitely." That's a tough one. I really don't think that's going to happen. I think, look, we give it a week at the most type of thing, and it begins to really fizzle out just because a lot of these truck drivers that I spoke with, especially like the one from Buffalo, New York, said that he had lost, you know, 50,000 in 1 week in terms of invoicing, and was only going to be able to do it for 1 week. So,
right. I mean, this is the thing, like, you know, it's funny because if there's a protest, traditionally there's a protest out on the street, you know, you heard mm-hmm. this a lot during like Occupy Wall Street in 2011, 2012, where, you know, the right would say, Look at all these unemployed people, no time, all the time in the world, they don't get a job or whatever. But I mean, being out at a protest like that, like an Occupy style protest, it really doesn't cost you anything in terms of like, you know, the things that you have to pay for. I mean, yes, you aren't working or you lose work or you have to take off from work and you might lose something there. But these truckers are spending money. Like, this isn't just like they're out in the streets and, you know, just costing them whatever they're losing from their job.
No,
they're spending money because driving those giant trucks around costs money. Like,
I'll give you an example too. I know for one day, like I think it was Monday, I did the calculations on the cost of diesel. And actually, it was funny tonight. I was looking at some of these trucker chats and stuff, and they're actually complaining because diesel's up to like $5.70 or something up in Hagerstown. It's like it's going up. I think probably because of a lot of the truckers out there, and also because, you know, there's some other details around oil and Russia and other things, of course. But I will say, I did the calculations out, and it was like, I calculated out to like $4.30 some odd cents per gallon for diesel. It turns out it's roughly like $200 for them to come down, do a lap, go back. So I mean, they're over the past 3 days they've easily burned probably close to like $600-$700 in fuel alone.
Wow, I mean,
one truck.
Wow, has anyone considered that Joe Biden teamed up with Vladimir Putin, planned this all out to cause the gas prices to rise, specifically timed with the Freedom People's Convoy? I mean, it's putting that out there. Clearly, I'm joking, YouTube. Don't remove my monetization or ban me. It's incredible. I mean, from your experience there on the ground, does it seem like a similar dynamic where the vast majority of these convoy protesters are actually not the employees, but the employers?
Oh, absolutely. I would say without question. I mean, a lot of them brought multiple trucks. I know the ones I was talking to brought multiple trucks. I know there was also like I would say that there's also a distinction, especially between the kind of the more traditional like rally goers. So they're of course there are the diesel truck big, you know, kind of long haulers out there that are like in the 200 number, but then they're also just kind of what they're calling support cars, which is kind of everyone, right? So it's a lot of different types of people. I would say, you know, kind of your run-of-the-mill Trump supporter would be a better way to classify it, with a touch of like QAnon, you know, of course, a lot of different QAnon stuff, a lot of different far-right stuff out there. I mean, it's just kind of turned into a hodgepodge would be the best way I would describe it. I know I saw a where we go one, we go all banner on a RV. I've seen a lot of Qs. I've seen negative 48, which is all QAnon related. And then of course a lot of Trump signs, a lot of stuff like that. Let's go brand that type of stuff. So yeah, I would say it's a hodgepodge. A lot of Confederate flags out there. That's kind of the feel there.
Right. And negative 48, isn't that's the even more culty QAnon subgroup, the one that thought that like JFK Jr. was going to show up in Dallas or something, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Negative 48's that QAnon character. I know my colleague William Selmer at the Daily Beast does a lot of reporting on this, who's actually writing a book. But yeah, no, I'm pretty sure that's the subgroup that thinks that JFK Jr. is still alive and it's like Vincent Fusca, right?
Right, yes.
Something like that?
Right. I don't think this is the one that thinks Vincent Fusca is. This is the one that was literally people were from all over the country were all going down to Dallas and congregating where JFK was shot because they thought he was coming back from the they don't believe in zombie JFK. They think he never died in the first place.
Right.
Although zombie JFK would be much more interesting. I could get on board that one. But now let's get to what happened specifically today that was different than any of the other days, insofar that Republican congresspeople, senators and House representatives made time to meet with I guess the leaders of the trucker convoy. Who met with, first of all, who from the trucker convoy went down there? Who from the Republican Party went down there? And what did they discuss?
Yeah, yeah, it was an interesting year on Capitol Hill. So instead of going out with the convoy today, I went to Capitol Hill, followed some of these folks around. I would say it was nearly, right around nearly a dozen, what they call kind of organizers. One of them was, of course, this Brian character who appeared on Fox way back when on Tucker's show. And then they had a bunch of other people. They had two of these doctors that are associated with the frontline doctors, and some other characters. Of course, the frontline doctors are those doctors. You know, one of the most popular ones during the Trump administration was President Trump's favorite doctor, which was the doctor that believed in like demon sperm, Dr. Emanuel.
Wait,
that's
they're involved
kind of
with the trucker convoy too? The frontline doctors?
Yeah, so the frontline doctors seemingly have some sort of alliance. Some sort of alliance, unsure exactly what. Of course, a lot of these right-wing movements kind of all seem to have a central point, and people kind of oscillate around that and somehow always get entangled with each other. So there's that. And then they first thing this morning, they met with Senator Ron Johnson and Senator Ted Cruz, which we were there for. And it was interesting. I would say one of my first questions to them was, look, what are the demands? What do you guys want? And then, you know, of course, I didn't really get a straight answer about what their demands were, how long. So then my follow-up question was something along the lines of, like, how long do you guys envision staying for? You know, as you've, what I said, feverishly, I said the word feverishly, circle the beltway. You know, I think they were circling the beltway with a lot of excitement, but, you know, not a lot of substance. So long story short, you know, Ted Cruz kind of seized on that word and called me, you know, corporate media hand, you know, doing the work of whatever. So
I sort of want to reenact this. I sort of want to reenact this, like, just to really hone in. I'm Ted Cruz. Zachary, what's your question?
Yeah, yeah. So it's like, you know, as truckers, you know, entangle and run around the beltway feverishly, you know, when might we see this end? And then, of course, Ted Cruz kind of pounced on me calling it feverish. He's like, there's nothing feverish about this. So you know, I think at the end of the day, I don't think to be, you know, here's the deal. I don't think Ted Cruz knew what their demands were. And even more so, I don't think Ted Cruz knew what they were when they were thinking about it potentially being over, what the end goal was. So he kind of just saw an opportunity to flip the coin, right?
Right. I can't get over the fact that you simply just asked, like, what do they want? Mm-hmm. Seems like a very straightforward answer. Like, you know, just say a number of things if there's not one specific thing. I mean, the fact that they couldn't even really come up with one, like, have they given anything, like, even if it's unrelated to what they've advertised they're there for? Have they said any, have they brought up any issue specifically, like, whatsoever?
Yeah, so one of the things that I keep hearing out in Hagerstown is basically one of their demands is they want to meet with lawmakers, right? So, and I asked this question again today at the briefing, and they didn't answer this, but they want to meet with lawmakers. From what I've gleaned from all the truckers out there, they want to meet with like every single lawmaker on the Hill in Washington, D.C., both sides of the aisle. Like, they want to meet with all politicians is their big thing. But when I asked them today, they kind of retreated from that and were like, we're going to see the legislative process through before they leave. So I think one of their demands is basically meeting with lawmakers, which I think they're going through the processes of now. But in terms of the other demands, there was another demand of ending mandates, of course, which is super vague. And of course, Ted Cruz kind of jumped in and started, you know, hollering about, you know, how they just want the government out of their lives. So a lot of it was just a big kind of, you know, a big rally where, you know, of course, you know, Ted Cruz and Senator Ron Johnson were able to get the super favorable headlines they wanted in right-wing media because they got behind the truckers first, right?
Right. I still don't even see, like, meeting with lawmakers as a demand. Like, that's step one. Like, you request that to then present your demands.
Yeah, and it was super weird, too, because in the meeting they were like – they seemingly contradicted themselves, because in the meeting they were like, meeting with lawmakers isn't necessarily to get anything done. They call it like a dog and pony show. And here they are meeting with legislators that they think are going to change stuff. So it was super weird. They kept flipping and flopping. And I think it's still unclear to them, and especially unclear to the Republican members what they actually want.
Right, right. And I saw that they actually also met up with Marjorie Taylor Greene and Matt Gaetz and Thomas Massie. Are you familiar with that meeting they had?
Yeah, so that was more... instead of like a round table there, they did more of like a rally. So the three Congress people were kind of up there. They gave like a presentation and took some questions. That was the event actually where Bob Bolas, the guy who wanted to choke the Beltway, showed up and was passing out kind of business cards, which, you know, I saw and I was like, maybe this is, you know, just a big grift. Maybe, you know, maybe this is like, you know, it just made me think and kind of pose some more questions. But yeah, so that was that. And it was similar. Instead, you know, of course, those three took the stand and were kind of chatting about, you know, all the talking points in terms of getting behind the Freedom Convoy. I will say, though, there hasn't been other support for the trucker convoy, like more mainstream. I don't even want to use the term mainstream because so many of them are so extreme, but like more mainstream GOP lawmakers, right? Like we haven't seen Kevin McCarthy. We haven't seen anyone else really get behind them. So, you know, in terms of that, and in terms of them wanting lawmakers to come out and take an hour and a half trip to see him in Hagerstown, you know, I think today was kind of their last hurrah in terms of congressional meetings.
Wow. It seems like a possibility, but who knows, right? yeah. But that would be quite the way to just fizzle out. It seems like they didn't get anything. I mean, do we know what the next step is for them? Like, what are they planning to do tomorrow and in the days going forward? Are they even planned out that far? Are they looking weeks ahead?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a great question, and I get, you know, I've actually come to find a lot of the readers, you know, are kind of from the D.C. area or from the New York area, are really, really curious about what is next, about what the next plan is, because they keep touting escalating. We're going to escalate. We're going to escalate. So, yeah. So I tried to ask them multiple times. And they kept pointing to, hey, you know, this is indefinite. We're going to keep doing this. I will note, though, that in a conversation with the Daily Beast this afternoon, they did say that they were thinking about moving the camp. They said they're going to pledge to move the camp from Hagerstown closer into Washington, D.C., like closer to Washington, D.C. proper, which, you know, if it stays strong and if they potentially move the location soon, that could cause more headaches for the area, especially with, you know, a big campsite where all these truckers are, just because naturally there's a reason why they're not here to begin with. The DMV isn't super set up for like 200 diesel trucks. It's very, you know, like New York, very, it's a city.
Right. Now, whenever this peters out and ends, is there anyone who has struck you as someone who is going to be around long after the convoy? Like, you know, QAnon has its influencers. Every conservative moment or movement has had, you know, seemingly someone who's taken advantage of that moment to really, you know, create a little space for themselves on the right. Mm-hmm. Do you see anyone from this movement doing that, or is this really, you know, they're gonna disappear along with the convoy when this all ends?
Yeah, it's really another great question. Yeah, no, I think, you know, there's a lot of people that want to be kind of like mini D-list right wing MAGA world stars, right? Of course, I mean, Bob Bolas is this older gentleman who is handing out business cards, is trying to get people, other people like around him, and trying to like fundraise money after his thing flopped, and people, you know, fellow truckers are kind of laughing at him, right? So I think there are a lot of different people that want to become that star. I would say, though, that there's just so much, there's a certain level of disorganization and frustration among the truckers that I think it does peter out, and we don't see a character emerge, you know, like we've seen in the past. I mean, potentially, though, I know that there are a lot of like D-list YouTubers out there that think that they can just go up to journalists and like start harassing them, and that kind of gets some clout in the right right wing ecosystem. So potentially something buds up there. But other than that, I don't think so.
Zachary Petrizzo, media reporter with the Daily Beast. Thank you so much for joining me. It's always a pleasure. Is there anything else you think we should know about this before we let you go?
I think that's pretty much it. I mean, the only thing to see now is if they end up rolling into DC, and if that happens, that could be interesting.
Now, where can people find you online? Anything you want to promote? Any upcoming piece you're working on, or anything really? The floor is yours. Go ahead.
Everyone can follow what we're up to at the Daily Beast, which is thedailybeast.com, and then of course I'm on Twitter at ZTPetrizzo. So yeah.
Sounds great. And like I was telling you before we went on the air here, we need to talk on my other show, Scam Economy, about your reporting on the Let's Go Brandon coin. We got to set that up, because.
Yeah. My colleague Noah and I have been diving into Let's Go Brandon coin and some of the backstabbing, some of the MAGA world crypto coin, Donald Trump Jr. infused. I mean, it's so many layers over there. It's kind of nuts. But absolutely.
I mean, that's got everything that I just, you're already, I can't wait. That's everything I love. Have a great night, Zach. Always a pleasure.
Thanks so much for having me, Matt.
Peace. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we have much more for you. Don't go anywhere. Before we go to the second half of the show, where we'll do some clips, take some calls, I need to do some promotions. Oh, what are you doing promotions for, Matt? Why, this show, of course, Doomed. And also, my other show, Scam Economy, doomedcast.com for Doomed, scameconomy.com for Scam Economy. You can support everything I do, all those shows and beyond, by going to patreon.com/Matt Binder. If you can financially support these shows and my work, it would be greatly appreciated. It really helps me grow what I'm doing. I couldn't do that second show if it wasn't for my patrons. I couldn't do either show if it wasn't for the patrons. So the more patrons we get, the more stuff I can put out. The goal now, honestly, to be straight up with you, is to get to a point where I could actually bring one or two people on board, at least, literally hired part-time to help me create more content. We're getting really close. We're getting there. So patreon.com/Matt Binder. If you can't financially support this show, no problem. Here's how you can support the show otherwise. Go to youtube.com/Matt Binder and subscribe to the channel. If you'd like to give a one-off donation without any subscription, you could do so right now while watching the live stream, if you are watching the live stream, by dropping a super chat on YouTube. Another way you can leave if you're an Amazon Prime subscriber, actually, you go to twitch.tv/Matt Binder and use your Twitch Prime subscription. That's right. Every month, Amazon gives its Amazon Prime subscribers a free Twitch Prime subscription. What does that mean? It means you basically get to become Robin Hood. You get to extract a little change from Jeff Bezos' pocket at no cost to you and drop it into my pocket. Just go to twitch.tv/Matt Binder and use your Twitch Prime subscription to subscribe there. You have to resubscribe manually every month, but other than that, if you're already an Amazon Prime subscriber, that costs nothing extra to you to do. Also, go to Apple Podcasts or Spotify, where Doomed or Scam Economy is listed, and drop a review. Seriously, reviews help big time. It takes a second to do, and really, it really does help people find the show, because it lifts the shows up in the podcast rankings on either platform. What else? I'm drawing. Let me thank the patrons who've joined over the past couple of weeks. Rebecca H, John B, JLR, or JL Rhyming, sorry, Dan G, Todd from Portland, Pam S, Sean M, Amelia, Petey, Daniel H, The Archangel, Miguel F, Morel C, Dwayne B, and John B. Thank you so much for becoming patrons recently. Really appreciate the support. I will read all super chats when we jump to the second half of the show right now. You can call into the show via Skype. Just open up your Skype app on mobile or desktop or wherever you have Skype. Search Doomed Live and I will take your calls. What else? Yeah. That's it. That's free, by the way, to call Skype to Skype. No cost to you. Other than that, Scam Economy episode coming out this week. It's a really great one. Be sure to tune into it. Doomed will obviously be back next week with another great show. And I will see you all next time. If you're not, first of all, who can stick around? Patrons get to stick around for both audio and the live stream. Live stream viewers can stick around too for the live stream. Don't go anywhere. I won't cut you guys off. You can stick around and watch. But for everybody else, I will see you all next time on Doomed.